Time for a short Q&A, according to my notes.
Government controls anesthetics, so you could do consulting, but you can't do any surgery. Some of this require facilities. So, but I'm trying to get away from the big corporate is the answer there. But I think, you know, for business people and what have you, trying to work out ways of funding more independent medical facilities is the way to go. I mean, the trouble is people sell them to corporate. That's my dilemma. It is difficult. And APRA have put these clauses in to say, once you have been registered, you can't. They have they're your own laws.
Do you think that inside somewhere, these people know that it's not right? This is from these injections.
I think that's a healthy development. There's an awful lot of denial going on. And, I have people who really work for me, that work in my centre, who are still in absolute full denial that there's a problem. So, and I can't get through to them. So, but people will wake up. I mean, it's too big for it. The truth will surface, but there's going to be a lot of resistance, I think. So, but it's encouraging to hear that.
One little freedom of information statistic that I'm aware of, and a statistic tells a big picture, is Queensland Health was requested as to how many of the 123,000 staff they have boosted and second boosted. And so that is, second boosted is recommended for everyone over 30 within Queensland Health. That statistic as is, at the moment, as of the 23rd of September, is 39% had their first booster, their third dose. So in reality, there should be 61% stood down, but it's not happening. And when we look at the second booster, the fourth dose, which everyone, because that was November, 1st of November last year, so here on our first anniversary, everyone over 30 should be 4% up. So I think that tells the story that you're seeing. So certainly the clotting is recorded, documented, and known. The content of the components, that clot seems different from the usual deep venous clots. So the normal deep venous thrombosis clots tend to be a more hemorrhagic component rather than this white fibrous sort of banding that we're seeing. I've not seen it myself in person. Having said that, my anecdotal experience was that normally when you put a drip in, so for an anaesthetic case, you put a drip in, that normally administers the medication, the anaesthetic agents, and then that goes out. Once in my case, the woman doesn't need it. But I found I had a number of superficial venous thrombosis cases from that. And in fact, I thought, I had five, and I thought, that's really strange. I'll go back. Was it the same anaesthetist? Is it? They got the technique wrong. And it wasn't. It was actually each of my three anaesthetists. They all seem to share it evenly. It's like, well, that's a bit strange. And not only that, they weren't just, normally it's a short 6 or 7 centimeter clot that comes from that point. Two or three of them track right back up to the end of it. That's not normal. And one of them actually, I usually get them to send me a photo once a week to see how it's resolving. And in fact, one of them ended up with a clot. I got called by a hematologist to say, could you give an epidural anesthetic for that way? Because he's directly, that is pretty anesthetic in the back. I said, no, why would I? Microscopic, can't access their back during surgery. And he said, well, she's actually got a big clot at the site and a clot. So something, and that was the same woman that had the long one that extended, so there's something there.
So that pretty much concludes our evening, but before we all go and rush out, I'd like to invite Susie back up to say some closing words. So, Susie. Deborah, the doctors, and myself would like to thank you all for coming this evening. Deborah and I have worked closely with the lovely Cara from the AMS group to arrange tonight and make this all possible. Unfortunately, Cara could not be here, so we'd like to thank her especially.
putting her trust and faith in Deborah and I and allowing us to arrange this event. And we wish her all the best for her continued success for the AMPS movement with the doctors currently touring around various other parts of Australia. Now, we'd also like to thank a number of others who have helped out for this evening. Firstly, we'd like to thank Mike and Quinn for allowing us to use this lovely venue tonight. Thank you, Rubes, for video recording of the event as well. And all the other volunteers who have also helped setting this up with us tonight to make this run smoothly for everybody. Thank you so much. I want to say a big thank you to our lovely MC, Deborah Yule. She's done a fantastic job in explaining our format for this evening, keeping things moving along so as we can hear from all our guest speakers. And last but not least, I'd like to say a massive thank you to our guest speakers, Dr. Andrew McIntyre, Dr. Luke McClendon, and Dr. Robert Brendan. These courageous and loving doctors who had sacrificed so much for the love of humanity. We want to wish them all the love and support moving forward with the ongoing challenges. For those of you who can, if we could stand up and provide a final thank you and applause to these lovely doctors.